Wargaming Recon is proudly sponsored by 127games.com, home of the cheapest Access and Allies miniatures. Find them at 127-games.com.
This podcast is brought to you by Noble Knight Games. Since 1997, Noble Knight Games have been serving the needs of thousands of gamers worldwide. They specialize in both new and out-of-print RPGs, board games, war games, collectible card games, miniatures, and all things game-related. Hi, I'm Ben Gerber from the Indie Talks podcast. Noble Knight Games isn't just a sponsor for our podcasts, they're also a customer. I purchased from them and sold items to them, and I've always been treated very, very well. Noble Knight Games always delivers exactly what they promise. They ship super fast, and when I've had questions, they've always had excellent, fast, and friendly customer service. They have a huge selection of over 100,000 unique products, and when they say it's in stock, they mean it. No vapor inventory. You'll find discounted pricing on most in-print games, and they've got fair and reasonable prices on their out-of-print and rare items. Noble Knight Games ships worldwide, and they know how to package your order so that it arrives safely with no damage. Have some games you're looking to trade in for something new, or just to grab some cash? Check out their trading and selling your games section. I've done it before, and it's easy and fast. They provide the shipping labels, you box your games up, and that's pretty much it. Noble Knight Games have a weekly email newsletter featuring new and rare finds, and they'll even handle special requests for you. Check them out at www.noblenight.com, that's NOBLEKNIGHT, or contact them at noblenight@noblenight.com. Noble Knight Games, your satisfaction is guaranteed.
Welcome to Wargaming Recon, episode 82. I am your host, Jonathan J. Reinhardt. Here at Wargaming Recon, we talk about all aspects of historical and New England gaming. Like I said, this is episode 82, and on today's show, we are going to be talking about six must-read magazines for historical gamers. That's right, six must-read magazines for historical gamers. So if this is your first time tuning into us here at Wargaming Recon, I just want to welcome you here onto the show. And if you are a longtime listener, welcome back. I'm glad to have you still with us after all this time. So for those of you who are longtime listeners, you know that there's been this little bit of a gap between episode 81 and this episode 82. I want to apologize for that. All sorts of stuff had been happening, but most notably, up here in New England, we got hit by Hurricane Sandy, and of course, thankfully, we escaped relatively unscathed, but the people in the mid-Atlantic states, not so lucky. And then we had that followed up by with a gigantic snowstorm. It was a nor'easter that followed Hurricane Sandy, and just all sorts of stuff had been going on here in New England and here in Massachusetts that had caused me to not get another episode out as quickly as I would have liked. But I promise you, we are back to our usual recording schedule. We're back to our usual release schedule. So new episodes will, of course, be coming out every other Monday. That's right. On the second and fourth Monday of each month, you're going to get a new episode of Wargaming Recon. So let's just go ahead and dive into things here on episode 82. Six must-read journals for historical gamers. Some of you may actually be listeners of my other show, Geeks Explicitly, which comes out every Thursday on the Troll in the Corner podcast network. And you might be used to me doing my top five list. I thought it might be kind of cool to bring some of that in here for Wargaming Recon for you, my historical and New England gaming audience. So I've been thinking for a while about what can I do for episode 82? What kind of content can I give you? And I have all sorts of stuff lined up, all sorts of different things that I could talk about. But one of the things I thought would be really cool would be to talk about magazines that you should read, journals that you should read that might be of interest to you. We all have our own favorite gaming magazine, and I'm going to, of course, mention some gaming magazines, but this list, which is in no particular order, mind you, this list of six must-read magazines for historical gamers is a combination of both gaming and non-gaming magazine. That's right, I'm going to cover gaming and non-gaming magazines, and that's why it's actually six instead of five magazines for you really need to read. I have three gaming and three non-gaming. Kicking things off, I'm going to go ahead and talk about a non-gaming magazine that I think you just have to read if you're into historical gaming. It's called Archaeology Magazine. And Archaeology Magazine is really cool. And you're thinking, archaeology? What the hell do I want to be reading Archaeology Magazine for if I'm going to be doing historical gaming? So Archaeology Magazine has some fantastic expert coverage about all sorts of archaeological information. It covers things like pirate shipwrecks that they're going and digging down and getting information for. It covers the revelation of Roman frescoes in Rome, how, you know, people are going down and they're digging and expanding their apartment building. And lo and behold, they stumble across these amazing ancient Roman frescoes hidden underneath the dirt under the ground of their apartment building as they're trying to expand. They come across these things. What's really cool about this magazine is it has tons of photographs, lots of imagery, and great expert written coverage. So let's say, for example, you like to game in Ancients. You're really into playing Hail Caesar. You love those ancient Romans. You want to have an Imperial Roman army. And part of that might be you want to create some terrain. Well, one good way to get some imagery and get an idea for what a Roman city looked like, an idea for what the insides of the houses looked like, would be by picking up Archaeology magazine, reading it, and lo and behold, you come across this article that shows you what frescoes are like in an ancient Roman house. Yeah, you can do an internet search or whatever, but you want to be better than that. You don't want to just trust the World Wide Web, as good as it is and as easy as it is. You want something that has expert opinion, expert information in it. So something like Archaeology is a magazine is a thing that you need to do. You need to go ahead, you need to pick it up. You can buy it, you can subscribe to it, or like me, you can get it at your local library. I'm sure your local library has it. If not, ask them to get it from another library. Lots of libraries out there carry it. It's an easy way for you to freely get some fantastic content. Maybe you're into the ancient Mayans. Maybe you're into something more current. You like World War II. They cover everything. The whole gamut is covered in Archaeology magazine. Of course, the focus is on, you know, medieval or ancient kind of coverage, but they have stuff about the Vikings. So if you're really into saga, you can get things about the Normans, the Vikings, you know, all 1066. They cover it all. If you're really into the American Rev, like I am, I love the American Revolution. You're really into the American Revolution? They talk about digging down in Colonial Williamsburg and trying to find the original fort down there. They have all sorts of information about the American Revolution, about colonial America. They cover it all. Anywhere in the world that you have an interest, chances are they have had coverage in Archaeology magazine. It's a fantastic magazine, very well done. Like I said, it has information in there by experts. You can't go wrong reading this magazine. And it's a lot of fun. You pick it up. It has fantastic layout. In the magazine, every issue shows you a map of the world. They take the world, they spread it out, you know, 2D, and they plot on there where different cool things have happened. Recent finds in, say, Japan, where they've uncovered really cool Japanese tea ceremony pottery. Or maybe they found a katana somewhere that maybe it was at the Battle of Sekigahara. Or you might go and they might have some animal bones that they found from Kublai Khan. And you can work your way over all the way to Africa and all the tribal battles there. They had coverage there from World War II, actually, in one episode, issue, where they had found the remains of a flight of German aircraft in North Africa that had gone awry and went missing. No one knew where it was. They managed to track it down. They dug it out. They found the remains of the planes and the cargo and everything. It was just really, really cool. Whatever error you're trying to recreate on your tabletop, Archaeology magazine has something for you. And I know it seems like archaeology, it's not gaming. Yeah, it's historical, but it's like it's a way back, right? It's not going to cover like this kind of stuff. It's going to cover like dinosaur bones or whatever. Well, maybe you're going to somehow inject dinosaurs into your gaming. Maybe you're going to do some sort of weird World War II kind of historical or semi-historical pulp gaming sort of thing going on, where you're blending historical and pulp fiction together, and you're going to have like this lost world sort of setting. Even that comes in handy. I guarantee you that there will be at least one article or one bit of information or one picture, one something in every issue of Archaeology magazine that you will find useful or interesting, some way will be beneficial to you in your gaming. And you might not realize it right away, but at some point it will come in handy. So Archaeology is the first out of six magazines, must-read magazines, that I'm going to talk about here in this episode. The next one, let's go ahead and jump over to a gaming magazine. And again, remember, these are in no particular order. I'm not ranking these. I'm not saying this magazine's better than that magazine. I'm not doing any of that. I'm just giving you six that I think are really cool and worth your time to read and absorb and enjoy. So the first gaming magazine that I'm going to mention is War Games Illustrated. And I know it gets a bad rap ever since the people over at Battlefront picked it up. And the reason why I say I know it gets a bad rap is that beforehand, it was an independent publication. They did their own thing. They kind of covered everything. And now it has a focus on Flames of War because Battlefront picked it up. That's true, but it's not just Flames of War. It covers Black Powder. It covers many other historical games, many other historical war games. It covers all sorts of how-tos and tutorials and scenarios, and it gives you coverage of things like Historicon. It's really well done. I kind of liken it to White Dwarf, but better. And in case you're not familiar with White Dwarf is a gaming magazine put out by the people over at Games Workshop. They make a bunch of sci-fi and fantasy games. They're most well known for Warhammer 40K, Warhammer Fantasy. They made a Lord of the Rings game. Those are the games that they're probably most well known for. And that magazine, White Dwarf, is their publication where they go in depth about their games, they promote their games. So War Games Illustrated, since it has been bought, and it's been quite a while now that it's been bought, but since it was bought by Battlefront Miniatures, it has a focus on things like Flames of War, Black Powder, Hail Caesar, Saga, all those kind of things. I actually got some cool information in an older issue of War Games Illustrated. And when I say older, I mean like a few years ago of it, where it gave me a cool way to do a one-day campaign. And they did this using the Saga rule set on how you could do a Dark Ages one-day campaign. So I took what they had and I adapted it into a Black Powder one-day campaign set in the American Civil War. I ran it with some of my buddies, and it was my first time doing something like that. So, of course, there were kinks, and we all kind of had to get used to it and everything. But it was pretty cool. I think we had a good time doing this one-day campaign. We had a bunch of smaller battles. I got that from War Games Illustrated. And part of the cool thing with War Games Illustrated, you can find in their title. It is War Games Illustrated. Literally, you are going to find nice glossy pages that have glossy color photographs in them. You're going to be able to see everything you need to see to know what you want to do. It's going to be heavy on the imagery, lighter on the words, but if a picture has 1,000 words in it, a magazine full of pictures has millions, billions worth of words in there. All you have to do is look at these images and all can be revealed to you. As someone who's really into Black Powder, and I think Black Powder is a great rules device that you can then adapt for whatever kind of era you want to go, as evidenced by Hail Caesar. Basically, it's Black Powder and shifted over, or Pike and Shot. You have stuff for that too. Last Argument of Kings. You have all these different expansions and versions that cover different eras and different types of rules. They're coming up with Napoleonic ones, of course. So you have this basic core rule set, this basic core system that is easily adapted to other iterations that allow you to do anything. You could do anything all the way up to current day. You could do stuff all the way up to battles in Afghanistan or whatever if you wanted by taking the Black Powder rules and adapting them to your needs. And they don't need to be adapted a whole lot. So a magazine that talks about games like Black Powder, games like Saga, whatever, they're relevant. It's now, it's of interest to gamers. And of course, there's lots of other gaming systems out there that historical gamers like to use. But things like Flames of War, things like Black Powder, things like Saga, these are really cool. They're really current. Like I said, they're really now, they're very popular. And they're ones that people are interested in. Bolt Action, for example, has some stuff coming out. And again, people are really interested in things that coming out of the Bolt Action Studios. Coverage in War Games Illustrated. Highly recommend it. If you can't pick up an issue of that and look at the pictures in there and get cool ideas for what to do, terrain to make, types of games to play, how to paint your models, I don't know what I can say because War Games Illustrated, it has it all. Let's move back over to a non-gaming magazine. I want to talk about Military History Magazine. Now, this is really cool because it's a very well-done magazine with a fantastic, easy-to-read layout that doesn't focus on one particular war. It doesn't even focus on one particular country. It covers conflicts from across the globe, from as far back as you can think to all the way up now. It covers things about, Nazi propaganda and its role in motivating the population to support World War II and to support the fight in Eastern Europe and North Africa and all this. It talks about the Cuban Missile Crisis. It talks about Napoleonic cannon. It picks areas here, there, and everywhere, all different times, all different conflicts, and you can get really cool information, really great content in each issue of Military History Magazine. So, you know, you pick up an issue and maybe you don't really have much interest in the voyages of Christopher Columbus and the role on Native Americans. You pick up this issue and it has content about that in there and you think that's pretty cool. So maybe that entices you to game in that period. But the cool thing is not only will it have content devoted to that, it'll cover different areas. So maybe your focus is on World War II, Eastern Front. It might have a series of articles in there talking about tactics in there or how the German military might failed or the benefits of this type of tactic or that type of tactic. It talks about the equipment, the people, the weaponry, covers it all, and it's really, really cool. And of course, since it's Military History Magazine, it focuses on the military side. So with archaeology, we kind of get the behind-the-scenes look about the people. We get to understand who they were and the cultural aspect of history. And Military History Magazine gives us more of the military side of it. It gets us into the fighting to understand the commanders, the decisions, logistics of warfare, and the conflicts that take place throughout human history. The conflicts that you and I like to recreate and like to play on the tabletop, on our 4x6 table, our 4x4 table, whatever rule system we like to use. Military history has information there that can be very useful to us. So it's another one that I strongly recommend that you check out. Of course, let's talk about one more non-gaming magazine so I can then focus a little bit longer on some gaming magazines. So the next and last non-gaming magazine I want to talk about is Naval History Magazine. This is perhaps one of my favorite magazines to read right now and one of my favorite historical magazines to read. It's put out by the U.S. Navy Institute of America, something like that. Yeah, U.S. Navy Institute of America, I believe is the name. And it's really well done. Of course, it's focused on the United States Navy and the U.S. naval tradition from American Rev, before even actually, kind of, to current day. And it's really a must-read for any naval gamer, whether you like to play War at Sea, you like to use Trafalgar rule set, whatever type of naval gaming you like to use and like to play, you really need to read this. And of course, the focus is on the U.S. Navy, the conflicts of the U.S. Navy, the evolution of the U.S. Navy, the men, the material of the U.S. Navy. But you can use that as a prism to examine other navies throughout history. So you can see what happened in the War of 1812, for example. There was a whole lot of articles recently about this, about the fighting frigates of War of 1812. And you can look at that and you can kind of get an idea for how wooden sail, age of sail ships fought, whether they were French ships, British ships, whoever's. You can look and see how it was in the Civil War with ironclads. And that allows you to expand, of course, more so, riverboat fighting, or it covers it all. It covers World War I dreadnoughts all the way to World War II with the age of the carriers and talks about modern supercarriers. It talks about not just the ships of the Navy, but of course the aircraft, because the Navy is more than just ships. It's nowadays, I would say, the Navy is more of an aircraft carrier, air wing kind of Navy than it is about having battleships, you know, firing big salvos at each other and shooting each other up over vast distances of sea. It's not like that really anymore. You're using things like cruise missiles and aircraft to kind of make the world a little smaller and cover a larger area. So you can look at this magazine, you can read the first-hand accounts of attacks on Iwo Jima, for example. You can see the maps and the great color illustrations that they have, and the discussions about different aircraft and ships and vessels throughout time. What's really cool, each issue, they have this kind of theme. There was one theme recently, like I had mentioned, about the War of 1812, so we talked a lot about that. Another one about American Revolution. There's tons that cover Vietnam and cover World War II, of course, in Korea, all these different things. And they're just, it's really cool, especially for me, as a son of a member of the U.S. Navy. My father served over 20 years in the United States Navy. He served on a carrier. He served on all sorts of different ships throughout the Cold Wars. He was at Beirut. He was at Lebanon. He was in the Vietnam War. Just being able to have that kind of cultural experience and that familial experience for me makes Naval History Magazine one of my favorites. But on top of that, one of the games I really enjoy playing is the collectible miniatures game, War at Sea, the one put out by Wizards of the Coast. So this has a lot of cool stuff in there. I can, you know, pick up an issue of Naval History Magazine, and I can go, oh, I know this plane, and I know that ship, and I used this one in that game I played last week against so-and-so. We were trying to do this and that. And, oh, look, they're talking about the Bismarck because of this and that. And it's just, it's really, really cool, and it's a very well-done magazine. The people who write into it, they're experts. They know what they're talking about. They're people who live through it. They're writing first-hand accounts about it. Of course, by the time they're writing it now, they might be, you know, a vice admiral, they might be a captain, but at the time, they were just a regular grunt there on the ship, experiencing it all, just like everyone else. So Naval History is the last of my three historical but non-gaming magazines that I think you need to read. You really need to pick up and check out. So I have two more gaming magazines that I want to mention. The next one is Battle Games Magazine. And Battle Games is one that I've been talking about for a long time. Henry Hyde is the editor and former owner of Battle Games Magazine. And Battle Games is really cool for a bunch of reasons. One of the ones that I think is the strongest reason why you should pick it up is the tabletop teasers. They have some really cool tabletop teasers. What these are is, these are basically scenarios where they give you a map. They say, this is the objective, these are the forces, and you can, of course, adapt these for just about any type of conflict you're going to play, any type of era, any type of war that you're trying to recreate, you're trying to put on the tabletop. And then they say, this is what it is, this is how it worked for us, now you give it a try. Let's see what you can do. What kind of general are you? How can you adapt this to fit the game you're playing? So if you're, you know, ancient Greeks and you're playing Sparta, right? You might have a tabletop teaser for Sparta, or maybe the Persian Wars, or maybe you can have something for World War I, and you can take that and you can adapt it to whatever conflict you need so that you can have this siege warfare, and you can say, do you know what? I'm really more of a Napoleonic gamer. I'm going to take this basic premise here, and I'm going to tweak it a little bit, but basically the same, same goals and basic same type of force organization, and put it into my Napoleonic Wars that I'm going to play with some buddies and get that on the table. And let's see how I do. Let's see how me and my friends do compared to what happened in the magazine. It's really, really cool. Now, another cool thing about Battle Games is that some magazines, and it's almost actually the polar opposite of War Games Illustrated, really, but some magazines like War Games Illustrated focus a lot on the flashy photos. They like the glossy pages with the high-res imagery and stuff, and Battle Games has images, it has great layout, has color photographs and all that kind of stuff, but the focus is, and has been, on the written word. You're going to find lots of really well-written content that you need to absorb. You pick it up and you're reading and going, wow, this is really insightful, it's very useful, I hadn't thought of it that way. But now I can. I can understand where the author's coming from. I can understand what they mean about this. And you know what? I'm going to try that in my next game. I'm going to see what they've done and adapt it to my uses. And Battle Games is a very old school type of gaming magazine where it doesn't focus on any particular rule set. It doesn't say, well, you know, we use this for Black Powder, so you have to use Black Powder. Or we use this for Fife and Drum or DBA or whatever. It says, this is what we did. And if you want to play Saga, go ahead, adapt it for Saga. You want to play Flames of War, adapt it for Flames of War. And of course, some content they do mention, oh, we had used this in Flames of War. We had used this in whatever system that they've done in. But you don't have to do it in that way. They're very open-ended, whereas other magazines, War Games Illustrated, for example, kind of focuses on certain rules, certain rule systems, certain types of games. And this is just like, this is what it is. Go ahead. Or it might say, you know what? You need to make a forest for your game, right? And so in Battle Games Magazine, it's going to tell you how to make your forest. Other magazines might say, look at what this company produces for this type of terrain. Let's talk about what they made. So yeah, you could go ahead and buy what another company made. And it's easier. You might just have to paint it. You might have to put it together. Or maybe you don't have to do any of that at all. Or you can do the old school method, like in Battle Games, and you can learn how to make your own terrain, which is really cool. So if you have the desire, the space, the initiative for it, really, if you have that initiative, you can go ahead and maybe save yourself some money and go that old school method and use Battle Games Magazine to go ahead and learn how to do the stuff instead of having it done for you. I do want to note that Battle Games Magazine, unlike War Games Illustrated, Battle Games has a digital version of it. And anyone who's listened to my show for a while know that I've had a digital subscription to the magazine, and then it changed hands, and then I maintained my quote-unquote digital subscription, which is really a digital license, and I have chosen to not maintain my subscription, and that's not because the magazine is bad. The magazine is fantastic, but it is because the price for a paper subscription is more than I can currently afford, and no local libraries carry this. So my main option would be a digital format of it, but whereas they only digitally license it and they don't digitally allow you to subscribe to it, you don't have that ownership. So when my license stops, I'm not going to have any of that content. To me, that's wasted money, and that's not something I can stand behind. So I'm cutting all ties in that regard from Battle Games. But if I happen to see it at the local game store or whatever, I'll pick up an issue because it's a fantastic magazine. So if you have access to it in the physical paper format, I highly recommend that you go ahead and grab it. And like I said, unlike War Games Illustrated, Battle Games is available digitally. That's a strong point. So you might want to give it a try digitally and just see what you think. You can get some free issues. And if you choose to go ahead and continue with it, go ahead. And if not, don't. The third and final gaming magazine that I want to talk about is War Games, Soldiers, and Strategy Magazine. So this is really cool. This kind of blends War Games Illustrated and Battle Games Magazine together. This is a beautiful and portable magazine. It's a nice size. And the reason why I say portable is because it's digital too. And this, unlike Battle Games, really is a digital subscription. If you digitally subscribe to it, you get a PDF that you get to keep for all eternity. So when your subscription ends, whenever that happens to be, and hopefully you'll maintain your subscription for a very long time, but whenever it happens to end, all the issues that came out while your subscription was active, you will still have active access to. So, you know, you could subscribe for a year and then stop, and then for the rest of your life, you will still have those PDFs. You'll still have access to that content, which is fantastic. But I gotta say that I don't recommend subscribing for just 1 year. I recommend keeping this magazine for as long as you can. But the magazine, of course, is a larger size, which is cool because you get more real estate here. You have more area to read, for them to give you content, great photographs. War Games, Soldiers, and Strategy is really cool because it has this perfect blend of reviews, editorials, how-to articles, inspirational articles. It's just all really amazing. And I want to talk about it a little bit more in depth than the other ones, partly because I had just read a recent issue of it. And that was, let's see, issue 63 of War Games, Soldiers, and Strategy. And there was an article in here by Mr. James Clark titled, Wargaming, or Just Playing Games with Toy Soldiers? Games of War. And I read this because I love anything that kind of discusses wargaming versus gaming and the differences in between. In this article, Mr. Clark talks about, are we wargaming or are we just gaming war? And what he's trying to say is, how realistic do we want things to be on our tabletop? This really made me think about the secrets of Wally Simon's wargame design that I've talked about, episode 76, I think, of Wargaming Recon. I think I talked about it back then. And Wally spent a lot of time trying to figure out how much realism could he bring into it. How in-depth could he make his games without making it too in-depth where his players wouldn't want to play. And Mr. Clark's article in WSNS, he kind of covers different areas of games and how you can choose to make them more in-depth. And you might notice that I tend not to refer to the gaming I do as wargaming. I know kind of generally that's what it's called. People like, oh, you're a historical wargamer. You're a wargamer. You like to play war games. I like to play games. I'm a historical gamer. But for me, if it's going to come down to something being more historical or more casual, I prefer it to be more casual. I prefer a little more open-ended. So I'm never going to really be someone who's going to be interested in a historical simulation. And I think sometimes wargaming, that phrase, can kind of lean a little too close to simulation for my taste. But it varies from person to person. And that's why like a game system like Black Powder is one that I like, because I feel like it kind of walks that thin line between how much simulation and how much casual play do you want, and you can modify it to fit whatever you feel is best. So I really enjoy that. Now, in this article, Mr. Clark talks about a few different areas on how you can alter things. He talks about, you know, it's possible your troops are in the field and they might just choose to not obey your orders, or maybe they're not going to be able to see the enemy. So yeah, you can shoot at them, but is it you, the general, seeing them as the gamer, or is it you, your forces on the table, seeing them? And of course, these are all things that gamers for a long time have battled with. You could go ahead and pick up a copy of Little Wars, and you're going to see that it was something challenging then that, you know, what do we do? How can we deal with this? Can this guy see this? Can red guy see blue guy? Or is it just me, the gamer, seeing blue guy? How does that work? And how can we bring more realism to it? It's a really interesting article. Of course, I come down on the side of I'm a gamer. I'm not a war gamer. I'm a gamer. But even so, I thought it was a really interesting article, and it's one that I think makes this issue of War Game Soldier and Strategy worth reading. And it's also an example of the kind of content that you're going to find in this magazine. One other thing that I would like to mention about WSNS magazine is that every issue has its own theme. And issue 63 is, of course, going to be one of my favorite issues because the theme is the American Revolution. So whenever an issue has a theme, and everyone does, what that means is they have different types of articles in there that focus on the theme. They have a scenario for you to play. They have painting articles for how you can paint your models about it. They have reviews to cover different products that would be useful in there. For example, the miniatures you're going to use. They have how to make terrain in there. They talk about some historical aspects, you know, non-gaming, like behind the scenes kind of thing, like the logistics of how something would happen. So they kind of give you a full view of it. They might even give you further reading on the topic that you can go ahead and say, oh, do you know what? This issue is focused on the Dark Ages. So that means, of course, I'm going to talk about Saga, but then maybe they're going to talk about some books that you should read. Maybe some books by James, by Bernard Cornwell. Sorry, I was thinking a different author, but they might have some books by Bernard Cornwell that maybe you should read that might give you more of the feel for the Dark Ages to kind of help set the mood so that when you play, you can then be like, you know what? I read this and I understand. I am at one with the people, my troops who are on the tabletop. So it's really cool that Wargame Soldiers and Strategy picks a theme for every issue. And I think they do a fantastic job about it. I want to give two thumbs up to the people who run it over there, Guy and Jasper. You guys are you're fantastic. And I think, like I said, I think you do an amazing job with this magazine. So WSNS is one of my favorite gaming magazines out there right now. And it's one that I strongly recommend that you pick up. If you're here in the United States, you might not be able to get it from your local game store. But I do know that Barnes & Noble booksellers carry it in the magazine section. So be sure to go ahead and check it out over there. I believe it's in the gaming or like the hobby craft kind of section of the magazines, and you can pick up issues over there, or you can subscribe to it directly through Karansari Press. They have an online site. You can go on there. You can buy back issues. You can digitally subscribe. You can get paper subscriptions. So it's really cool. And I strongly recommend that you go ahead and give WS&S a try. So let me wrap up all of these magazines again for you. So I talked about Archaeology Magazine. I talked about Military History Magazine. I talked about Naval History Magazine. I also talked about War Games Illustrated, Battle Games Magazine by Mr. Henry Hyde, and I talked about War Games, Soldiers, and Strategy Magazine. These are my six must-read magazines for historical gamers. I'd love to know what your favorite magazines are that you as a historical or New England gamer love to read. They might not be a gaming magazine that you feel is really good. I covered three historical but non-gaming magazines, and I also covered three gaming magazines. So let me know what you think about this. You can send me a comment on the show notes for this episode, which you can access at wargamingforums.com/WR82. That's right, wargamingforums.com/WR82. You can send me an email at cwfgamecast@wargamingforums.com. That's right, wargamingforums.com is the domain, the website for this podcast. You have all sorts of information there, and I gave you the link to the show notes. That's wargamingforums.com/WR82. So that would be a great way to go ahead and leave a comment on the blog. You can send that email. Or if you're more of a verbal person, please send me a voicemail. You can call 347-470-GAME. That's right, 347-470-4263. And you can leave me a voicemail. Chances are, if you leave a voicemail, I might very well play it here on the show. So I'd love to hear what your must-read magazines are for historical gamers. Love to hear what you have to say about that. Like I said, these are my six, and I'm sure you have some different ones, so be sure to send them to me. I also want to mention that coming February 2013 is TotalCon. That's Total Confusion, which is a great convention, gaming convention here in Massachusetts. It takes place in Mansfield. I am all booked for there. I'm booked for the weekend. I got a nice king bed set up there with a view of the garden or the pool. I'm going to be running a game with my buddies. We're going to be doing Battle of Freeman's Farm on Saturday afternoon, Saturday of the convention. We're going to be doing it using the Black Powder rule set. It should be a lot of fun. It'll be 10 millimeter models. Just should be a blast. Last year, we went ahead and we did 15 millimeter models with the Black Powder rules, doing Daybreak at Hangman's Creek. That's a what-if kind of American Civil War scenario. We got a really good turnout for this, which we were kind of surprised, because TotalCon is not a historical gaming convention. It's a gaming, board gaming, role-playing game kind of convention. Very family-friendly, all sorts of stuff. But there was a strong showing last year of historical games. War at Sea had a strong showing. There was some Flames of War and some other stuff going on that was pretty cool. So there's clearly an interest for this, and we had a good time doing it last year and doing it again this year in February. Well, next year, really, because it's 2012 that I'm recording this, but at the next convention, we're going to be doing that, and there's going to be panels and stuff that I'll be going to. Be a lot of fun. If you're going to TotalCon, I'd love to say hi to you. I'd love to chat with you and stuff. Be sure to drop me a line and let me know. Like I said, you can leave a comment on the show notes for this blog, which is wargamingforums.com/WRA2. You can leave me a voicemail at 347-470-4263, or send me an email. That's cwfgamecast@wargamingforums.com. I want to thank all of you for listening to this episode of Wargaming Recon. This is episode 82. We're getting ever so closer to episode 100 of the show. I can't believe we're really getting up there. It's a lot of fun doing these episodes, and been doing it for a long time, but I love chatting with you. And I am most appreciative that you allow me into your lives, into your homes, for the time that it takes to listen to these episodes. And I just can't wait to come back again with another episode for you next time. So once again, thank you for listening. Of course, you're going to get some credits coming up, and then we're going to have the familiar promos for all of the other shows on the Trolling the Corner Podcast Network, because Wargaming Recon is a member of the Troll in the Corner Podcast Network, which is a fantastic podcast gaming network run out of here in the Eastern Seaboard. So you're going to be able to check out some promos for other shows, because if you like Wargaming Recon, you might like some of the other shows, such as my other show, Geeks Explicitly, which is kind of a podcast about all things geek. I cover all things geek life. Then we have Monsters of the Shattered World, which is a really cool podcast where this character experiences other monsters on this foreign planet that he's on. And then there's Indie Talks by Mr. Ben Gerber, the owner of Troll in the Corner. And Indie Talks covers all things that's indie, independent games, independent movies, all that kind of stuff. And he has all sorts of great content on there as well. So you might like one of those other shows, and we'll have promos for those after the credits. So thank you again, and as always, don't forget, keep on gaming. This show is a proud member of the Troll in the Corner Podcast Network. If you enjoy this show, you might like some of the other podcasts on the network. Every Wednesday is a new episode of Indie Talks with Troll ITC owner Ben Gerber. Ben chats with people involved with indie games, movies, and much more. Every Thursday is a new episode of Geeks Explicitly, hosted by yours truly. All aspects of geek life are discussed. Wargaming Recon comes to you on the second and fourth Mondays of the month. I chat about historical and New England gaming. Monsters of the Shattered World, hosted by Troll ITC editor Brent Newhall, releases monthly. This story podcast details the adventures of a young scholar encountering strange monsters on a foreign planet. To learn more about the shows on TCPN, visit www.trollitc.com/TCPN.
Hey there, this is Ben Gerber from Troll in the Corner, and I'd like to invite you to listen to my podcast, Indie Talks. Indie Talks is a discussion about independent publishing, where we take a look at indie games, the people who write them, and the people who play them. We're going to branch a little farther afield as well and talk to some independent television and movie stars and creators, as well as crafters, all of who are related to gaming in some way, shape, or form. So please join me on the Troll in the Corner Network at trollitc.com and give Indie Talks a listen.
This is Andreas, Apprentice of the White Order. I would like to invite you to listen to my letters, a humble collection of my observations of the various beautiful and very, very dangerous creatures that inhabit my world. I hope you enjoy it as part of the Monsters of the Shattered World on Troll in the Corner at trollitc.com.
Wargaming Recon is a proud member of the Troll in the Corner Podcast Network. Visit www.trollitc.com for more information. This recording is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Share-Alike 3.0 license. Look for Wargaming Recon online at www.wargamingforums.com. We're also on Twitter, Facebook, and Stitcher Radio. You can learn more about this episode by reading the show notes on our blog. Many thanks to Andrew and Court for inspiring the show's name. Thank you for listening, and keep on gaming.